Robert Hall was a famous preacher in England in the late 1700s and early 1800s. One day a man came to visit him in order to take exception to a statement the preacher had made in his latest sermon. The sermon had been about the love of money, and the preacher, Robert Hall, knew that this man loved wealth and material possessions. So the preacher took a half sovereign out of his pocket. This was a coin roughly equivalent to our half dollar. He then opened his Bible and pointed to the word God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. He asked the man, "Can you see that word?" The man said, "Certainly I can see it." Then he laid the half sovereign coin over the word and he asked, "Can you see it now?" His point was clear. The love of money will cause us to lose our ability to see God. The love of money will wipe out any trace of God in one's life. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21 describes a wealthy man who was living his life for the material things he possessed. Beginning in verse 13, it tells us that someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This man couldn't see God because his eyes were on his wealth. He couldn't focus on spiritual things because he was so focused on material things. As we read the parable in Luke chapter 12, one of the immediate things we're confronted with in the parable of the rich man is how different God's perspective is from man's perspective. The man described in the parable is someone we would call ambitious, prudent, careful, successful. He would have been respected and highly esteemed in the community in which he lived. He would have been honored. He would have been considered to be very wise. Yet God called him a fool. This man was called a fool because he was investing only in things that were vanishing. This man's prosperity was all earthly, things of this world, material possessions. His farm produced plentifully. He was proud of his great harvest. It was time to build new barns. What more could he ask for? But everything he possessed was temporary. Everything he treasured was passing away. I believe it was the comedian Lily Tomlin who once said, "You can't take it with you, but even if you could, all of it would probably get burned up the first day anyway." If your heart is set on riches and material things, then your heart is not set on God. As Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. What if everything you worked for during a day vanished each night at midnight? What if you then had to start each day fresh with nothing? If this happened every day, we would develop a much better understanding of the things that really matter in life. What do you invest in every day that will last for eternity? Not your body, not your physical looks and health. Our bodies are going to die and become dust. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 20 says, "All come from dust, and to dust all return. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, "The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." What do you invest in every day that will last for eternity? Not the things you own. They will eventually end up in the dump, and ultimately they will be burned up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be burned up." What do you invest in every day that you can take with you when you die? Saladin was the first sultan of Egypt and Syria. When Saladin died in 1193 AD, more than 800 years ago, he left directions that his empty hands should be on view outside his coffin. By this he meant to teach that of all his vast wealth and conquests, he could take nothing with him. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 15 says, "Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands." 1 Timothy 6 verse 7 says, "We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Psalm 49 verses 16 and 17 says, "Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die." God asked the rich man in the parable, "This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" In Ecclesiastes 2 verses 18 and 19, the writer said, "Suddenly I realized that others would someday get everything I had worked for so hard. Then I started hating it all. Who knows if those people will be sensible or stupid? Either way, they will own everything I have earned by hard work and wisdom. It doesn't make sense." The rich man in the parable was a fool because he was investing only in things that were vanishing. And this man was called a fool because he thought only of himself. Wealth tends to cause us to be more selfish, to think only of ourselves. Wealth tends to cause us to think less of others. One day, a certain old rich man who had a grumpy, miserable disposition visited a rabbi in his office. The rabbi understood the man's problem, and so he led him to a window and said, "Look out there." The rich man looked out of the window into the street. What do you see? Asked the rabbi. "I see men, women, and children," answered the rich man. Then the rabbi led him to a mirror. "Now what do you see?" "Now I see myself," the rich man replied. Then the rabbi said, "In the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver. And no sooner is silver added than you cease to see others and you see only yourself." In the latter part of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus describes the day of judgment. In Matthew 25 verses 41 through 43, he says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.'" Jesus does not mention terrible crimes against humanity or egregious sins of immorality. His focus here is a failure to take others into account. Jesus is not denying that crimes and immorality will be punished. He's shocking his listeners with the realization that one doesn't have to commit horrible acts of wickedness to be separated eternally from God. His audience would have had no problem with the teaching that wickedness would be punished, while they confidently passed by the man beaten and lying on the roadside between Jerusalem and Jericho. The rich man in the parable seemed to have all he needed, yet when he was blessed with even more, he gave no thought to helping others. He thought only of increasing his own possessions. Ephesians 4 verse 28 tells us, "Be honest and work hard, so you will have something to give to people in need." God calls this man a fool because he thought only of himself. He showed no concern for the needs of others. God called this man a fool because he was living for the moment while he was facing eternity. His future seemed secure. He had plenty of goods laid up for many years. There were no retirement worries for this man. The present day seemed perfect. He seemed to have no concerns. He could take life easy. He could eat, drink, and be merry. It was time to relax and live it up. He thought he had many years, but in fact, this was his last night on earth. This is reminiscent of King Belshazzar, whom we discussed a few weeks ago. We read about King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. He's the one who was throwing a big party in Babylon, praising the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, and showing contempt for the golden vessels that those before him had ransacked from the temple of the true God in Jerusalem. Then he began offering a purple robe and a gold necklace and the third highest position in his kingdom to whomever could read the writing on the wall. He was still acting as if he had many years ahead of him, when in reality, that was his last night on earth. In Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus asked, What is a man profited if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? All the treasures of the world are of no benefit when one is facing eternity. God called this man a fool because he was living for the moment while he was on the threshold of eternity. The Bible says a lot about the danger of wealth, the danger of riches. But very few people have any concerns about the dangers of riches. The fundamental definition of covetousness is having a great desire to possess something. The definition for greed is intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth or power. If someone breaks the command and commits murder or becomes a thief, they are considered criminals and they are considered to be worthy of shame. But if somebody breaks the command not to covet, if they are in fact covetous, and if they enthusiastically seek to fulfill their desires to possess things, they're often considered industrious and enterprising, successful. We tend to think of this lesson as having application only for the rich. But who are the rich? This is from an article in USA Today from November 1991. Yeah, way back then. How rich is rich? We're asked in the article. According to a survey of people who ought to know, the answer is $1 million to $5 million in assets. Investment managers Neuberger and Bergman sponsored the survey of people who stand to receive or give inheritances. Median household assets of $500,000. Paradoxically, 55% of those whose assets ranged from $1 million to $5 million didn't consider themselves wealthy. Now, that was written 30 years ago, but I'm confident the results would be the same today. To extend this point one step further, in a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Paul Brand writes, "I have been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obviously wrong choice, but it has set me thinking. No matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, hear a pipe organ, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, type a letter, mow a lawn, fly in an airplane, sleep on an inner spring mattress, use a computer, or talk on the phone." Paul Brand then says, if he was rich, then what am I? It needs to be said that the problem is not money or material possessions themselves. The problem is the love of money and the love of things. Many people have become rich simply because they were frugal. They were careful with their money and/or they invested their money wisely. The rich man in this parable thought he had a long time to live, but he was told, "This very night your life will be demanded from you." His possessions would be of no benefit to him now. He had not prepared for eternity. He would now harvest his deeds, not his fields. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What if today is my last day on earth? Where will I spend eternity? What if today is your last day on earth? Where will you spend eternity?